just heard from the teenagers, what did they learn this week? Where did God work in their hearts? And one of the things that often burdens me with going to camp is, do we have these things called camp decisions, or are they actually life-changing decisions? Because it often happens, I remember doing it, going to camp as a young person, making a decision, and I go home within a week. I've completely forgotten about the decision that I made at camp, where the Lord worked in my life. Perhaps you as church people, you know what I mean. God convicts you in a message here at church, and then by the time you walk out the door and eat Sunday dinner, you've forgotten about the conviction of the Lord. So what do we do about that? I'd invite you to go to James chapter 1 with me if you would. James chapter 1, a very familiar passage. But as I studied this passage out, there was a light bulb moment for me. Because James chapter 1, starting in verse 22, you all know these verses, but perhaps we've been reading them wrong the entire time. James chapter 1, verse 22, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only." That word, doers, I think all of us would say we are doers of the word. We serve, we do our devotions, we attend church, we do the work of the Word of God. But there's a problem with the way that we interpret this particular verse right here. We interpret that word doers as a verb, to do something. The problem with a verb is that once we do something, it can be done. There's completion. But that word doers is not a verb. It's a noun. We are to be something. There's a difference between being something and doing something. Being something has the idea of we're continuing to do it. There's no end to it. We're constantly growing and changing. So when we look at this particular verse right here, James is saying the action is to be something, not to do something. And if you remember the context of the book of James, James is one of the early church fathers, the half-brother of Christ. But in verse 1, he says he's a servant of God. And so as he humbles himself, as he's writing to the 12 tribes that are scattered abroad, again, shortly after the ascension of Christ back to heaven, the persecution started. The 12 tribes, they were scattered because of the persecution. And most theologians believe that the book of James was actually the very first book of the New Testament written. Many people call this the Proverbs of the New Testament. Because after Christ's ascension back to heaven, the Christians were left wondering, what do we do? How do we continue on with this new gospel? Can we put it that way? No longer under the works of the law, but we're under grace. What does that look like? And so James, under inspiration as a church father, writes to these churches and says, let me give you some practical instruction on how to live out in this New Testament of grace. And so James has been called the Proverbs of the New Testament. More than half of the verses in the book of James are actually commands for us to do. So then this verse 22 is really the key verse of the book of James. Who are we to be in light of being a Christian? You see, too often, what often happens is we can read scripture, we can sit under preaching, we can be convicted, and we do a work of repentance. We can do a work of saying, Lord, give me strength to do better next time. And then when we walk out the door, we leave that decision at church. We live that decision at teen camp. And we don't actually do anything about it. So this verse in James chapter 1, verse 22, but be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. As we sit under the preaching and the teaching of God's word, as we make these changes, James gives quite the warning here. Because even as we make decisions and we communicate to God saying, I want to change, I want to do better, too often times that's the last step that we have in our lives. And then what happens is we come under conviction and we determine to do better, but that's the end of it. We have deceived ourselves saying that we've made a change when there's nothing that's actually changed in our lives. And so James gives this warning here saying that if you're not actually being something, if you are only doing something, then there's actually not a real change taking place in your life. You are a hearer only. You're deceiving your own self. He goes on, "For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. He beholdeth himself, he goeth his way, straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." He's got a beautiful word picture here of a mirror as we look into. And we as Christians, what's our mirror that we look at? It's the Word of God. So James is saying too often times we look in the mirror, we study ourselves, but then nothing changes. He is beholding his natural face in a glass. This has the idea of a very deep concentration, a very deep study. You figure out all of the characteristics of your face. I don't think there's a single person in here who doesn't like looking in the mirror. I mean, let's just be honest, right? We enjoy seeing ourselves in the mirror. I'll be the first to admit it, okay? So we study ourselves. We see ourselves really deeply. And then we leave. We forget what we saw. It's a parallel of what happens when we study Scripture. We dig really deep into it. We like to check off that box saying, "I've done my devotions, I've prayed, now I'm moving on." And he's likening it here to spending time studying, but nothing changes. You know, just yesterday, Elise was cutting my hair, gave me a haircut. By the way, I'm thankful we figured this out early on in our marriage, how much money you can save by having your spouse cut your hair and not going to a hair cutting place. Now I realize why my dad cut mine and my six brothers' hairs growing up. You know, if you think about it, seven boys plus dad, every 6 to 8 weeks a haircut, that adds up. And I didn't like dad's haircut because he didn't style it the way I wanted him to. But you know what? Dad paid the mortgage because he cut our hairs. That's really, I think, what it comes down to when you think about how much money you save. But anyway, so I was looking in the mirror last night, and I suddenly realized how many gray hairs I have. I've seen it before, but last night looking in the mirror, it was like, I can't count them anymore. There's too many of them. I made that remark just a couple of weeks ago in teen Sunday school that I was getting a lot of gray hair. And one of the teenagers says, "Well, you know, it's because there's a lot of unneeded stress in your life." And I looked back and I said, "I'm a youth pastor. What's my job? Stress, hello, right here." But what happened? I saw that. I said, "Look at all that gray hair. You know, honey, what do I do? Can I run to Walmart and get some hair dye and kind of get rid of it?" But then 2 minutes later, I jumped in the shower, forgot all about it. I haven't thought about it since I just tell the story just now. I was deeply studying the mirror on my head, trying to count the gray hairs, and then I turned and forgot about it. Completely dismissed it. And how often does that happen in our own lives as Christians? Where we hear the Word of God, we think we're doing something because we feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit, and so we get right with God, ask Him for help to change us, but that's the last thing we do. We forget all about it. The warning here is that we're deceiving our own selves. In church, I'm afraid that's too many times that in our own lives that we're not studying Scripture, we're not spending time in God's Word, we're not here listening to the preaching and teaching of God's Word to see what it actually says about us, as much as it's just to soothe our conscience that we think we're doing what's right. You see, there can be, we come under conviction when we don't read God's Word because we think we have to read the Bible. We don't come under conviction from what we're reading in God's Word. There's a difference. And yet too many times we deceive ourselves saying, I checked off the box. I did the work. I am a doer. I did the actions of the Word. And then we go on with the rest of our lives, nothing having been changed. And it's so important that we understand why it's so significant that this is a noun right here, not a verb, that this is my identity. I am wrapped up in God's word. Christ is my identity. Everything I do is for the purpose of who saved me, who bought me, who wants to conform me to the image of his son. And yet again, too often times we feel like we've succeeded because we checked off the box. And I'm saying all this is because I know exactly where everyone's at. It's easy to come under that conviction and you want to get out from that conviction, so you do the work of saying, God, I'm sorry, help me to do better next time, amen. And I did the work. But I'm not a doer of the word. He beholdeth himself, but then he goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Verse 25, but whoso looketh unto the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein. This perfect law of liberty, it's a word play here. I love the way James says that. Because the law is something that binds us. You cannot get out from under the law. There's no excuse for doing 85 and a 65. You get pulled over, you get a ticket. There's no good excuses. We are all confined by the law. None of us are exempt from the law. But yet James says here that it's the perfect law of liberty. Liberty is then being free. It is having nothing over us. So how can something be simultaneously the law and liberty? Yeah, what we're told here is that those of us, when we truly identify as we are a doer of the work, that's my identity, when I serve God, when I am completely overwhelmed and obsessed with God and doing what he wants me to do, that sets me free from the law. It's a wonderful word picture, a play on words that James gives here. Whoso looketh unto the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer, again, noun right here, a doer, this is who he is of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Church, do we wonder why we aren't being blessed at times? Why things don't seem to be going right? Have we stopped to ask ourselves, am I truly a doer of the word? Is that who I am? Or do I simply act right when it's convenient for me? When I know that God will give me something good because of it and then move on? Or do we stop and say, my identity being wrapped up, who I am as a doer of the work, it supersedes, it overwhelms, it convinces me that no matter what, I am to do what's right. And that's when we receive God's blessing. See, we don't receive God's blessing when I simply say I'm sorry because I'm under conviction to get out of God's conviction. Because that's still selfishness. I'm still doing it for my own feelings. But yet if I say, I'm a doer, I'm going to make this the identity of who I am, then we see God's blessing to follow. So how does this then apply to this evening? You see, a lot of decisions were made this week. We heard a lot of the word. Fuel kids, you are hearing a lot. You are probably overwhelmed the amount of information you're getting right now. Church people, we could say you heard God's word this morning. What have you done about it? Do we simply hear God's word and we check it off the box because I was at church, I listened to a message, so that means I'm spiritual now? Or do we say this has to completely change who I am? Down to the core of my being, who I am, God's word has to change me. So teenagers, what are you going to do with those decisions you made this week? Those decision sticks that you have, do those just end up in the bottom of your drawer and they pile up? Or are you going to make a commitment to change, to be different, to be a doer, to be wrapped up with your identity in the Word of God? I could challenge you to say, do you remember the decisions you made last year at camp? And if we don't, then we're not a doer of the word. We're simply a hearer of it. Church people, do you remember the last time God brought conviction? over reading His Word, or perhaps a message. How has it changed you? Do you continue to see change in your own life? The warning here from James is very strong. And we have to reorient how we see this verse, that it's not simply actions that we do, but it comes down to the very being of who we are. That we are overwhelmed, we are determined to live out the Word of God. Not when it's convenient, but all the time. With everything we have. With all that we are. So the question, just in application, is very simple. What are you going to do with the Word of God that you hear? Whether it be in your own devotions, whether it be with friends and family as you sit around and encourage one another. What are you going to do with your camp messages that you heard? Fuel kids, what are you going to do with the lessons you're learning this week? How are we going to take what we hear and let it affect us to the very core of our being? So that our identity then is one who does the work of God, who is a doer of the Word, not just hears it and moves on. Lord, thank you so much for your work and how your Word and how just practical it is. How all you ask of us is that we simply obey and we do your work. Help us all this evening to be doers of the Word, to be wrapped up in you, to make our identity one of that follows your Word, not just one that checks off certain tasks to be accomplished. Lord, continue to convict us and to grow us. Help us to be serious about our relationship with you. I'm excited about the decisions that the different campers made this week. Help us as a church to follow up with them, to encourage them, to challenge them, how they're continuing to grow. Help us all to grow. Continue to make us more like your Son. We know that's what pleases you the most. Lord, help us just be sensitive to it. May all of our actions, may all of our interactions, may all of our words, our thoughts, everything we do, bring you glory because you deserve it. In your name we pray, amen.